Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, producers enrolled in the 2023 Canada Saskatchewan Feed Program will be getting a top-up to help cover extraordinary costs for transportation of feed and to help maintain the breeding herd. We'll hear from Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt, who made the announcement late yesterday afternoon. We'll also hear from the Vice Chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association, Chad Ross, who was on hand for that announcement and was appreciative of that new funding. A weekly overview of the wheat market has been provided by Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture. I'll have that for you. And the GX94 calving selfie contest has wrapped up. Livestock producers sent in pictures of their newborn calves from February 12th until just this past Friday. And we received 235 entries in all. And I called our lucky winner this morning. We'll have that coming up on today's program as well. So all of that and much more on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers bio-meal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, for all intents and purposes, it's sunny here today. Another nice day shaping up here.
Yeah, watching a little cloudy. That's just off to our west. Watching the chance that expands a little bit. Not really much sign that it's going to be a concern, but it certainly could expand a little bit. Could even expand enough to produce a spotty shower or two for tonight and into tomorrow. Not concerned that any of those hold together and become significant. Watching a lot of heavy rain off well to the south, down toward Oklahoma and Texas. That activity not feeding into this at all. So that's contained. High pressure in between keeps us from getting into really any significant moisture at all. But the chance is there. Sprinkles, light showers are possible through the night, through early tomorrow, and even a few more tomorrow night. Wouldn't even be surprised to see an odd flurry as temperatures back down a little bit, down to near zero for Wednesday night. But overall, it's comfortable. Temperatures mild this time of year. Normal high is 8. We should crack that each day. And normal low still -4, -5. So we've got a pretty decent hold over that for the next few days. 14 though this afternoon, not bad at all. Even if that cloud comes in, shouldn't impact things much. The chance of spotty showers tonight is high as 40%, but again, significant showers lower. 2 degrees the low. 11 tomorrow, passing shower. Tomorrow night, 0. Sprinkle or flurry, and then we dry out. Any cloud cover left over early Thursday because we had a sunshine. The high is near 9. Wind will be strong. This weak disturbance coming in tomorrow doesn't have a lot of moisture, but it will kick up a gusty wind. 25 to 45 could gust over 50 at times. Then it settles back down on Thursday. Friday is a nice day up to 12, and Saturday is mostly sunny up to 19, and we're likely within a few degrees of that on Sunday as well.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw and Dauphin are at 12 degrees, Swan River and Brandon 13, Show Lake Russell 11, Roblin 9. Regina and Saskatoon reporting in at 11 degrees, Hudson Bay, Broadview, Mooseman 14, Indian Head 13, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 12. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, an east-northeast wind at 9 kilometers an hour. 72% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 12 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of plus 10 degrees and dropped to a low of minus 2 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is plus 8. The normal low is minus 4. The sun rose in Yorkton at 6:06 this morning, and it will set at 7:38 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Gillam at plus 16 degrees. The cool spot was Churchill at minus 7 degrees. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Island Falls. It got up to plus 17 degrees. The cold spot was Uranium City at minus 6 degrees. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. Producers enrolled in the 2023 Canada-Saskatchewan Feed Program will be getting a top-up to help cover extraordinary costs for transportation of feed and to help maintain the breeding herd. The federal-provincial program was introduced last October in response to drought conditions felt across the province, especially in the southwest and west-central regions. Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt has the details.
Obviously, we know of the challenges that we had in the last couple of years with the drought conditions we had in some parts of the province, and obviously accessing feed was a big concern for the livestock sector. So here today, we're to announce the additional top-up payments that will be provided to eligible livestock producers who are enrolled in the 2023 Canada-Saskatchewan Feed Program. This program provides feed, provides relief measures to offset extraordinary costs to secure feed for livestock. The additional payments being implemented today will help livestock producers as they deal with the ongoing impacts of drought. This program was introduced in October of 2023. The goal, obviously, was for us to maintain the breeding herd stock in Saskatchewan in affected regions throughout the province. Saskatchewan had committed $70 million and the Government of Canada had committed $77 million. We had applications and the producers were, who applied and were deemed eligible by the March 15th deadline will automatically be issued the top-up payments being announced here today. So initial payments were prorated to a maximum of 75% of the total payment based on the application from producers. This prorated approach ensured that all eligible producers would receive support. Producers within the designated regions, as originally guided by the Canadian Drought Monitor Map, will receive a top-up of up to $50 per head. Applicants that were in the provincial-only area will receive a top-up of $20 per head.
Merritt expanded on how the payments work from a federal and provincial perspective.
What it is the feds had drawn a boundary on what RMs were in and what weren't. And in January, they added 9 RMs, but there's still some that weren't in the program. So that's where the $50 will come in, is for all those RMs that are under that federal umbrella. The ones that aren't that weren't eligible, the province had said we were going to pay up our $80 per head anyway, so we're going to pay our additional $20 on that. We paid $60, and now we're going to pay the additional $20 to them. We'll also, you know, we'll reach out to the federal government to see if they will look at opening it up.
He explains where most of the applications for the program have come from.
Most of them are kind of in the southwest, southern part, and up on the west side as well is probably the bulk of them. We had over 3,600 applications that were filed and completed, so that's where we're at today.
Merritt believes the top-up will have a significant impact on producers.
I guess really the importance of the program is what we heard from producers last summer, and the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association was, how could we source feed and where could we source feed from? So we come up with a program that really allowed the producer to go and source feed wherever they could. And we had some producers that really had to go like 400 or 500 kilometers to find that feed. And obviously one of the biggest challenges was then the transportation costs that come along with that. So then we came up with what we thought was a very good program to offset that. And there's a formula based when you go for ag recovery on what is eligible as expenses and what we can pay on. And that's where the 70% comes, and that's where we get to the $200 maximum. So that's what we came up with, and we thought it was a good program. What we really wanted to do was maintain the breeding stock here in the province of Saskatchewan. We've seen a decline in the breeding cows here in the province of Saskatchewan, and we wanted to see that maintained. Obviously, we'd like to see that number increase as well. So we wanted to make sure that the livestock producers had the means to source feed and get that. And I've talked to some ranchers that were very, very thankful for the program and allowed them to maintain their breeding stock.
And he says producers won't have to apply for this additional funding.
Now, the checks will automatically, the producers don't have to apply anymore. We've got all the names. We will just do the top-up automatically over the next couple of weeks. The checks will be going out. Like I said, we had just over 3,600 applications, and I think the dollar amount we paid out so far is right around $67 million. So there will be a top-up going into that, and we're very, very excited to get the checks out as soon as possible.
That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt. It's time now for the Beef and Forage Report, and that's a presentation of Bumper to Bumper in Lanchenberg and Rokenville, your auto parts professionals. Let them find the parts no one else can. Open 8 to 6 Monday to Saturday. Call 306-743-2332.
Beef and Forage Report.
The American Association of Bovine Practitioners will now refer to highly pathogenic avian influenza in cattle as bovine influenza A virus, or BIAV, and is encouraging everyone to do the same. In an open letter dated yesterday, the association says that though caused by the same virus, the disease presents very differently in cattle versus poultry and is far less lethal. The name change reflects the difference in the presentation of the disease between species. The organization is encouraging government officials and industry to adopt the name change. The virus isolated from affected animals in herds matching the clinical syndrome has been identified as avian influenza virus type AH5N1. This virus causes highly pathogenic avian influenza in birds. However, the disease syndrome in cattle does not cause high morbidity and mortality as it does in birds. The association does not believe that this disease should be referenced as HPAI in cattle or bird flu in cattle due to these differences. As of yesterday, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency has not reported any positive tests for BIAV in Canadian livestock other than poultry. And that's today's Beef and Forage Report. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
Managed money fund traders continue to chip away at the large net short position in canola futures. That's according to the latest Commitments of Traders report from the United States Commodity Futures Trading Commission. As of April 2nd, the net managed money short position in canola futures came in at 89,739 contracts, which was down by roughly 6,000 contracts from the previous week. Open interest in the canola market was down by 5,442 contracts on the week at 288,530 contracts. At the Chicago Board of Trade, the net short position in soybeans was up by about 4,000 contracts to come in at around 127,000 contracts. Soy oil futures saw the recently established net long grow to just over 7,000 contracts from only 131 contracts the previous week. The BC company that operates Canada's largest container terminal is going to court against the federal government to keep 5 years of greenhouse gas emissions data secret. GCT Canada Limited Partnership says the Minister of Environment and Climate Change wants to publish emissions data from the Deltaport facility south of Vancouver under the Federal Greenhouse Gas Reporting Program. The company says in a federal court application that the information is a trade secret and publicly releasing it would cause both financial loss and harm to the firm's competitive position. GCT Canada says in the judicial review application that the ministry is wrongfully singling out Deltaport and that no facilities run by competitors are required to report emissions numbers. The company says its emissions data could be used by competitors, customers, and others to cause the company losses. The federal government has pledged up to $5 million in funding for agriculture and food processing robotics in hopes of addressing ongoing workforce challenges. Federal Agriculture Minister Lawrence McAuley says these cutting-edge solutions will help the sector overcome some of the challenges it faces, leading to a more prosperous and competitive future for Canadian agriculture. Five projects were funded up to $1 million each. These included projects to develop a robotic mushroom harvester, packer, and harvest lift, another to develop a robotic arm to pick, harvest, and de-leaf cucumbers and strawberries, a robotic arm to work alongside humans to harvest fruit and vegetables, and others related to task automation. Nova Scotia says it's increasing funding for fruit growers still feeling the effects of February's bout of extreme cold. Agriculture Minister Greg Morrill says the province granted funding to more than 100 farmers in the first phase of the program, which helped pay maintenance costs for the recovery of grapes and other cold-sensitive crops. The second phase includes support for virus testing, plant materials, and ongoing crop maintenance. The province says it continues to assess the long-term impact of the extreme cold event and the sector's recovery needs. The European Union has provisionally agreed to restrictions on Ukrainian food imports, which some EU members say have destabilized the bloc's agricultural markets. EU decision-makers have wrangled for weeks on limits to tariff-free access for Ukrainian produce, as farmers protested about cheap imports, with some in Poland blocking the border with Ukraine and spilling Ukrainian grain across railroad tracks. EU lawmakers and Belgium, which holds the six-month rotating EU presidency, said they had reached a deal on the curbs. This will still require approval from other EU members and the European Parliament. The European Commission proposed in January extending tariff-free access until June 2025, but with a so-called emergency break for poultry, eggs, and sugar to apply tariffs if imports exceeded the average of 2022 and 2023 levels. Since then, oats, maize, groats, and honey have been added. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. It's sunny and 12 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Producers enrolled in the 2023 Canada Saskatchewan Feed Program will be getting a top-up to help cover extraordinary costs for transportation of feed and to help maintain the breeding herd. The announcement was made from the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association head office in Regina yesterday afternoon. The Cattlemen's Association played a role in the development of the feed program. Vice Chair of the SCA, Chad Ross, appreciates the continued support from both levels of government.
Yeah, first of all, we're very pleased and privileged that the minister chose our offices here at the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association to make this announcement. We've worked very closely with the minister throughout the past number of years, throughout the drought, and especially last year. And we thank Minister Merritt and the Saskatchewan government for acting fast and coming to the needs of producers. And this announcement today is appreciated because it helps provide those producers who applied for the program with even more support going forward into the spring and throughout the year. Increasing the threshold for eligible costs from 75 to 100% will definitely help producers plan for their herds this year and make it possible to access more feed if necessary. It just goes to show you that with our organization and our producers asked for to partner with the government, that the minister rings the bell and answers, and appreciate that. And having used the program myself, I can speak that the amount of support is very much appreciated. And anything that helps us get through these challenging times of the drought throughout the past years is really huge. And we just appreciate the investment that they have made in our industry.
He explains how important the program has been to him personally.
Well, like the minister said, if this program wasn't available for us to buy feed, that we would have to sell cows. We'd have to sell bred cows and reduce our herds to make do and get through. And being able to access these dollars to buy feed, in our situation we bought grain, screenings, some protein supplement that we could extend some of our lower quality forages, and it just helped a bunch for us to retain the females that we had.
Ross tells us how he used his funding.
We purchased grain because grain made the most sense for us to bring in, and that actually we're right on the border, so we brought in corn from the U.S. to do that, as well as we did purchase some screenings and oat hulls from local elevators, and the protein supplement we bought locally.
Chad Ross is the vice chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 174.85, up 152. August live cattle closed at 172.55, up 165. May feeder cattle closed at 239.45, up 227. August feeder cattle closed at 250.10, up 185. May lean hogs closed at 98.77, up 90. June lean hogs closed at 108.57, up 65. And that's the livestock market conditions. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. A weekly overview of the wheat market has been provided by Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture. It was issued through the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission.
U.S. wheat futures finished the week mixed. Strong U.S. crop conditions reported at the beginning of the week pressured the markets, along with weak export sales reported on Thursday. The lower U.S. dollar was supportive, as well as Russian execution issues. As far as some of the most important news that happened in the wheat markets last week, we'll start in Canada, where we had some monthly export data. Canada shipped 1.8 million tons of non-durum wheat in the month of February. China took 20% of the total monthly volume and continues to be the largest customer of Canadian wheat. At a year-to-date total of 1.8 million tons, exports to China account for 15% of all Canada's wheat exports August through February. Exports to Indonesia are running 52% ahead of last year at 1.3 million tons. And exports to the U.S. also remain strong, up 45% from last year. Otherwise, most of the remaining export strength for Canadian wheat is coming from the combined growth of several of the smaller markets. Exports to countries outside of the top 10 main customers for Canadian wheat are up by 23% from last year. As far as Canadian durum exports go, the monthly durum exports were 297.2 thousand tons in February. Algeria bought most of the volume at 143,000 tons, which was, well, as I said, 48% of the total monthly volume. Exports to most of the major Canadian durum customers are lower than last year's, especially to Italy, where exports are trailing by about 74%. As far as some of the weekly export data goes, week 35 exports for non-durum wheat were just under 400,000 tons, which is below the average pace, but remains well ahead of the average weekly pace needed to meet the AFC's too low, as in our opinion, export projection. The AFC is currently projecting a 20.25 million ton export number, while we think it'll be a lot closer to 21 million tons. The CGC made a large revision in domestic disappearance. They added 129,000 tons to the domestic disappearance, which is an impossible weekly amount. So there was someone that was either miss or underreporting. For the durum export data, week 35 Canadian durum exports were 105.5 thousand tons for a season total of 2.4 million tons, down 36% from last year. Durum exports remain on pace to meet the AFC's export number. The AFC is currently estimating a 3.2 export number. Note the large revision in domestic disappearance as well. We had the CGC increase domestic disappearance in durum by almost 70,000 tons, Again, an impossible number for a week's worth of Durham. So if someone, again, wasn't reporting or was apparently reporting, we should say. While we're talking about Durham, we'll just give a brief update on North Africa's wheat crop, which is entering the heading stage here in April. Tunisia's crop appears to have fully recovered from the inclement weather at the beginning of the growing season and is now in strong condition. Meanwhile, conditions in Algeria and Morocco are much more variable. In Algeria, the eastern and central wheat-growing regions, which account for roughly 61% of the total wheat area, is in good condition, while the western region is in rough shape. Morocco is faring the worst, with most of the wheat-growing regions showing crop growth at or below last year's drought-impacted crop. We have adjusted some of our production estimates to match the changing conditions in North Africa. Our total production number rose to just under 3.9 million tons, which is still 400,000 tons higher than last year's and similar to the 2022-23 season. As far as our Durham recommendations, we recommended to be sold out of old crop Durham quite a few weeks ago now, and we're recommending to sell about 30% of expected new crop Durham at the current price. We mentioned a couple weeks ago that the new crop Durham balance sheet is looking to be a little bit heavy, which is prompting these sales. And we will move on over to the U.S., where we received our first winter wheat crop condition report of the season, where the USDA showed that 56% of the U.S. winter wheat crop is in good to excellent condition. This is 28% better than the first crop condition rating of last year. U.S. commercial wheat sales were below trade expectations at just 16,000 tons. Total commitments are now 18.7 million tons, which is 3% ahead of last year, compared to the USDA's projected decline of 4.5%. South Korea reportedly canceled just under 65,000 tons of white wheat that they had on the books. Meanwhile, China bought about 75,000 tons of soft red winter wheat. Remember that a few weeks ago, they canceled large volumes of soft red winter wheat. The prices must be a little bit more to their liking these days. Hard red winter wheat sales were small at 12,500 tons. The largest buyer of hard red spring wheat was the EU, which bought 5,500 tons during the week. For new crop sales, total new crop commitments are now 1.3 million tons, which is quite strong for this time of year. There was another 262,000 tons of wheat sold over the week. The primary buyer for new crop was South Korea last week at 82,000 tons, which is interesting since they just canceled about 70,000 tons worth of old crop sales last week. In Australia, futures prices were higher in Australia as farmers are increasingly turning their attention towards seeding. Western Australia was dry last week, while there were some beneficial rains in the east. In Argentina, cash wheat prices were higher. The focus there is shifting to Brazilian demand rather than destination markets. We had a little bit of news from India last week, where the government has asked traders to delay purchases of new crop wheat. The government has asked domestic traders to postpone buying new crop wheat at least until the end of April, as it does not want private traders to get in the way of what it hopes will be a 30 million ton wheat procurement program. They also asked rail companies to not supply cars to local traders until the end of April. The last time India's government made a similar move was in 2007. Despite low wheat stocks, the government has resisted calls to allow imported wheat, which tends to anger the rural voters. We remind you that India's election is on April 19th. In the European Union, farmer protests seem to be having some policy impacts across the EU. EU policymakers have scaled back on climate policies, made movements toward limiting imports from Ukraine, and have backed away from legislation on some pesticide use. As far as the French winter wheat crop goes, their crop ratings fell by 1% from last week to 65%. Good to excellent. And we will head on over to the Black Sea, where Russian authorities withheld phytosanitary certificates for two ships belonging to the shipping company Aston. Remember, last week they had been doing similar things, or the last couple weeks rather, they'd been doing similar moves with the trading company Riff Trading House. Now, Aston denies that there are any delays and said that the vessels will be shipped according to plan. The Russian agricultural watchdog says that the tightening of phytosanitary controls is a response to an increase in complaints from importing countries about non-compliance of Russian grain quality. This could be the case, but we're not so certain. It seems like the Russian government is moving towards additional government controls in grain exports. This situation will need to be watched. Sources say there were 7 ships in Russian ports that were unable to leave as of Thursday. 2 RIF Trading House vessels, which had been delayed for the same issue, were given phytosanitary certificates at the end of the week. This phyto issue will likely cause Russia to miss the 5 million ton March wheat export program that we had expected that they would achieve. As far as some of the significant purchases and trades, Tunisia bought 75,000 tons of soft wheat and 50,000 tons of durum wheat. The Panama Canal Authority raised the daily number of ships from 24 to 27 per day. This is still well below the normal capacity of 36 ships per day, but May rains are expected to further increase the capacity of the canal, so that's a good sign. Meanwhile, the USDA attaché in China is estimating that Chinese wheat production in the upcoming year will be 1% higher than last year at 138 million tons. Chinese old crop wheat imports were reduced by 10 million tons because of the recent cancellations that they have that they've done, while new crop imports were estimated to be at the new old crop number at 10 million tons as well. So this is important, as we mentioned before, that China is Canada's top wheat importer. As far as the outlook goes, we have a new USDA report on Thursday. We expect the USDA to lower wheat exports because of the Chinese cancellations a few weeks ago. We think the USDA will leave wheat production estimates largely unchanged. We still expect slightly stronger wheat futures, while the politics in the Black Sea area remain unclear. There were rumors of more Chinese cancellations of some wheat and corn, however. The funds combined corn, bean, and wheat positions are at a record net short for this time of year, which should keep the volume of trade low until the USDA report is absorbed by the market. Weather and politics will keep trade at a minimum. We recommend that you watch for opportunities to sell your remaining old crop, as this rally may present some opportunities, but we would not touch new crop sales for now.
That's Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture in Winnipeg.
Commodities Update.
U.S. Live make that canola futures closed mostly up today. May canola closed at $6.39.30, up a dollar. July canola closed at $6.48.10, unchanged. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $6.51.25, up 1 cent. May Kansas City wheat closed at $5.77.25, down 8 cents. May Chicago wheat closed at $5.57.75, down 8 cents. May corn closed at $4.31.25, down 4.25 cents. May soybeans closed at $11.74.5, down 7 cents. May oats closed at $3.29.75, unchanged. And that's the commodities update. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. The GX94 calving selfie contest has wrapped up. Livestock producers sent in pictures of their newborn calves from February 12th until this past Friday, and we received 235 entries. I called our lucky winner this morning.
Hello.
Hello, is this Mark?
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, it's Doug Falconer calling from GX94 Radio in Yorkton. How are you today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, the reason I was calling is you were our calving selfies winner for our contest here at GX94.
No way.
Yeah, you won. We drew your name.
Well, I can't believe.
Congratulations.
Well, thanks.
So you've won a whole bunch of prizes. Hackman Feeds is giving 2 certificates for calf milk replacer valued at $129 each. Whitewood Livestock, a $100 gift certificate. AFAB Industries, a hat and a coffee mug. Twilight Tires is giving a $50 gift certificate. Norquay Co-op, a $50 co-op gift card. Kelvington Stockyards, a $50 co-op gift card. And you're getting a gift pack from us here at GX94 as well. So congratulations on that.
Oh, my.
how's calving season been going for you? Are you done yet?
Oh, we just have one to go.
No?
One more to go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Any day now?
Yeah, pretty soon, yeah.
Good. And do you have a big operation out there?
Not too big, no.
No?
30 cows.
All right. But it's been keeping you busy by the sounds of it.
Oh, March was a tough month.
Yeah?
Yeah. All the storms and the cold.
Okay.
But well, we got through it.
Excellent. Well, that's good. Well, once again, I just wanted to congratulate you once again on winning this contest. Okay. So thanks for sending in a picture of your calf, and it paid off for you.
Yeah.
That's Mark Fafford. He lives in the Spy Hill area, and he's the winner of the GX94 Calving Selfies contest. It's time now to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. A mix of sun and cloud, winds west at 10 to 20, and a high of 14 degrees. For tonight, partly to mainly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, winds northwest at 10 to 20, a low of plus 2. For tomorrow, a 30% chance of early showers, then partly sunny, winds northwest at 25 to 45, a high of 11, an overnight low of 0. For Thursday, early cloud, then sunshine, winds northwest diminishing to 15 to 25, a high of 9. For Friday, partly sunny, a high of 12, and Saturday, mainly sunny, a high of 19. In the Paw and Dauphin, it's 12 degrees, Swan River and Brandon, 13, Shoal Lake Russell, 11, Roblin, 9. Regina and Saskatoon are at 11, Hudson Bay, Broadview, Mooseman, 14, Indian Head, 13, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 12. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, an east-northeast wind at 9 kilometers an hour. 72% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 12 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.